Good morning, everyone. Welcome on this beautiful morning. Welcome to those here in the sanctuary and to those who are joining us online, either at this time or later in the day or week. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Let us worship God. We sing the great Palm Sunday hymn, hymn 364, 364, All Glory, Lord and Honour.
Thank you.
In Psalm 118, we read, "The stone which the builders rejected has become the main cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is wonderful in our eyes." Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we welcome you today as the Son of God, the one who reigns in glory, yet who entered this world of space and time and experienced life as it is, with all its joys and sorrows. We proclaim you as our Messiah, the King of Kings and Blessed One, and yet you showed great humility when you washed the feet of your disciples. We praise you as the one who sits at God's right hand, yet you shared our humanity and became obedient even to death on a cross. We greet you as the Lord of light and life, yet you experienced the darkness of death before rising triumphant from the grave. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord Jesus Christ, we claim to be your followers, and like many on that first Palm Sunday, we gladly sing your praise. But we acknowledge that often our actions fail to match our words. We confess our commitment to you can be fickle, and we admit our inability to fully embrace the values of your kingdom, still less to build our lives upon them. Gracious God, in your mercy, forgive us for all that causes you to weep over us as you wept over Jerusalem, and enable us to take hold of the new life you offer to us in Jesus Christ, the one we greet this day as our great and gracious King. These things we humbly ask in his name, and together as the one people, we say the prayer our Saviour taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. There'll be a service each evening this week, Holy Week. The services will begin at 7 o'clock. The service on Monday, tomorrow, will be in Park Church, on Tuesday in the North Church, on Wednesday in the Church of the Holy Rood. On Thursday, we'll have a communion service in St. Mark's Church, and then we'll gather here in the Old Parish on Good Friday. Each service beginning at 7 o'clock, and each service will be followed by a further time of fellowship. And in connection with this, home baking for the tea after the service on Friday evening would be very welcome and can be taken to the hall on Friday between 3 and 4. And thank you in anticipation of that. Easter Day services a week today, 7:30 a.m. in King's Park, and a gentle reminder that the clock will go forward 1 hour next week. So while I seem to wake and no problem in the morning, maybe next week, just to be safe, I'll set the alarm. But 7:30 in King's Park, and all will be welcome, and then the family service here at 10:30. There'll also be Easter services at Eccles Court on Wednesday at 2, and West Dillon's Care Home at 3, and St. Ninian's Primary School have their Easter service here in the church on Thursday morning at 10. And it's always a great joy to welcome the pupils and their teachers and family and friends to the church. That's on Thursday at 10 o'clock. Finally, a reminder about two events. The stated annual meeting of the congregation will be held following this service, when the statement of accounts for last year will be presented. These have been independently examined and approved by the Kirk Session. So that's a stated annual meeting of the congregation after the service. And the Tuesday group annual general meeting and lunch will be held this coming Tuesday at 12 noon in the King Robert Hotel. Have you ever met someone that you recognised, but you couldn't remember how you'd met them or where you'd met them? It can be quite puzzling. You know their face, but no matter how hard you try, you just cannot think, where did I meet this person? Or have you met someone, a friend of a friend, that you didn't know, but you felt as if you knew a lot about them because of what your friend had shared with you? Sometimes that can happen too. And of course, those who are on social media will know way too much about some of their friends, friends who like to display everything, including what they're having for their lunch. And of course, on social media, there can be people there who are friends, but we cannot remember for the life of us how we became friends with them in the first place. Jesus' friends had spent 3 years with him. They had listened as he spoke about God and God's love. They had watched as he performed the most amazing miracles. But even they were taken aback when, on the day that became known as Palm Sunday, Jesus asked them to go and get a young donkey, and then he proceeded to ride it as he entered Jerusalem. The disciples were totally taken aback by that. Now, the disciples, they probably knew what Jesus' favourite food was. Perhaps they even knew whether he snored or not when he slept. But the Bible tells us they didn't really know him or why he had come. That's quite something, isn't it? We're told that on that first Palm Sunday, many people gathered to welcome Jesus as he approached Jerusalem. It would seem that they did know who Jesus was, because they placed their cloaks on the ground and they waved palm branches, and they praised God for sending someone to help them. And yet, within only a few days, many who had sung Jesus' praise shouted, "Crucify him, crucify him." These people are and were a mirror image of many today. How many of us think we really do know who Jesus is? And yet, isn't it true? We always have something new to learn about him and why he came. As the events of Holy Week and beyond unfolded, the disciples and other followers of Jesus came to learn so much more about him and his work and mission. And I hope that that will be our experience too, that as we journey through this Holy Week and beyond, We will stick by Jesus. We will keep faith with him. For we too still have much to learn about him and why he came. Much that will help us, not least when life is tough and the road is rough. Let us sing the hymn 366, and Tony will play a full introduction of 366. Come into the streets with me.
Good morning. Let us now turn to the Word of God in the book of Psalms, Psalm 118, which is found on page 514 of the Pew Bible. That is 514. A reading comes from 19 to 26. Open to me the gates of victory. I shall go in by them and praise the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The victors will enter through it. I shall praise you, and you, for you have answered me and have become my deliverer. The stones which the builders rejected have become the main cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is wonderful in our eyes. This is the day on which the Lord has acted, a day for us to exult and rejoice. Lord, deliver us, we pray. Lord, grant us prosperity. Blessed is he who enters in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. Our second reading comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11. This is found in page 40 of the Pew Bible. Verses 1 to 11. They were now approaching Jerusalem, and when they reached Bethage and Bethany, close by the mountain Mount of Olives, he sent off two of his disciples. "Go into the village opposite," he told them, "and just as you enter, you will be tethered there a colt which no one has yet ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks why you are doing this, say, 'The master needs it,' and will send it back here without delay." So they went off and found the colt outside in the street, tethered beside a door. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them, and they were then allowed to take it. So they brought the colt to Jesus, and when they had spread their cloaks on it, he mounted it. Many people carpeted the road with their cloaks, while others spread greenery which they had cut in the fields. And those in front and those behind shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David which is coming. Hosanna in the heavens." He entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. He looked around at everything. Then, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. May God add his reading to the blessing of his own most holy word, and be his name be all the praise and the glory.
Oh, sorry.
We will now sing our next hymn, which is hymn number 399. My song is Love Unknown, omitting verses 2 and 4, so missing out verses 2 and 4. Hymn number 399.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you entered Jerusalem in triumph, yet humility, to a welcome, yet also rejection, to a crown, but also a cross. Come afresh, we pray, to the city and the world today. Bring reconciliation where there is conflict, love where there is hatred, and plenty where there is need. God with us, in life no house, no home, in death no friendly tomb, but what a stranger gave. As we acknowledge our human frailty, we pray for all whose endurance is strained by the trials that confront them. As we call to mind the killing of so many in the concert hall in Russia, we pray for an end to violence and terrorism. As we think of the King and Princess of Wales receiving treatment for cancer, we pray for all who are sick and for those we also know who are receiving treatment at this time. And as we give thanks for the precious gift that life is, we remember those who mourn. Lord God, we pray particularly today for the families, friends and workmates of Kyle Marshall and Jaden McConnell, two young men from St. Ninian's who lost their lives in a road accident last Sunday. We can only imagine the depth of grief being experienced by so many, including those in the emergency services, as a result of this awful tragedy. As we as a congregation remember Kyle and Jaden and give thanks for their all too short lives, we express our sorrow and heartfelt sympathy to their parents, to Kyle's younger brother and sister, to Kyle and Jaden's grandparents, other family members, friends and workmates. May those who mourn and whose hearts are broken know that you are with them, and may they experience your peace and be given the strength that they need for this day and for the days to come. Lord Jesus Christ, you entered this world with your glory veiled. The rulers of the day saw you as a threat and a challenge to their position. We pray for all in positions of leadership today, and for those who represent us in the parliaments, in Edinburgh and in London. Grant that they may not be seduced by the trappings of power or fickle popularity. Rather, may they strive to promote equality and harmony, and so help to create a better and more just society. God with us, as we give thanks for the church in heaven, we pray for the church on earth, and for Christians throughout the world, as we enter Holy Week. Be with us as we journey with Christ to the cross and beyond to the empty tomb. And let us commit ourselves afresh to the one who came not to be served but to serve and to give his life that we might live. These things we humbly ask in the all-powerful name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Saviour. Amen. Kyle was 19, and his friend and neighbour, Jaden, only 17. Their deaths have impacted on the whole community, including the high school where they had been popular and much loved pupils. Our heartfelt sympathy and support as a congregation goes to their parents and families, and to all who have been affected by this tragic accident and the loss of these two fine young men. Kyle and Jaden's funerals will be held here on separate days in the church, on dates yet to be confirmed. May they both rest in peace in the arms of Jesus. We sing hymn 374, From Heaven You Came, Helpless Babe.
Thank you.
I would like us, before the sermon, to take a moment to remember Kyle and Jaden and to offer up our own prayers for their families and friends at this awful time. Jesus said, "My peace I give to you." Believing that Kyle and Jaden are now safe with you, O God, we do pray for their families and their friends and work colleagues. May they know your peace, that peace which is beyond all understanding. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Can you imagine what it would have been like to witness the events of that day we call Palm Sunday? Vast numbers of pilgrims would have travelled from near and far to Jerusalem for the Passover. It was a huge event, and one that saw the population of the city rise dramatically. It would have been loud. There would have been a carnival-like atmosphere as the Jews gathered and prepared to celebrate once again their liberation from captivity in Egypt. But this particular year was different from all others. A man called Jesus from Nazareth, who had gained quite a reputation for himself, he was also heading for the city. Those who knew him accompanied him, and they sang his praises as he approached Jerusalem. And others who did not know him, well, I rather imagine they would have gone along just to see what all the commotion was about. It was an exciting event, a great day. There was an air of expectation. Something big was about to happen. But then, people can be fickle, we sometimes say, and I think that's true. A rugby coach or football manager will be popular if their team's doing well. But when the team begins to lose games and drops points, the situation can change, and chants from the stands or terraces leave the coach or manager in no doubt as to what the fans are thinking. Certain politicians will also know what that feels like. As long as you deliver the goods, you're up there with the best of them. But when you fail to deliver, or things go wrong, the message given is clear. It's time to go. Time to make way for someone else. Someone who will do what we want and give us what we want. As Jesus approached Jerusalem, there were those who seemed to realize who he was. Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. How right they were! God's promise was about to be fulfilled. But alas, the people misunderstood what kind of Messiah Jesus came to be. They saw him as one who would liberate them from Roman rule. But as the days passed, and one event followed another, the people realized this Jesus was not what they expected. He was not what they were looking for. And as the psalmist of old had foretold, they rejected the one who would become the main cornerstone. How could they get it so wrong? How could they have been so fickle? And yet, do we not see in that Palm Sunday crowd a mirror image of many people today? There are those who can get caught up in the excitement of a Christian gathering, a mass rally or crusade or something similar. And amidst the euphoria of the occasion, they proclaim their faith in Jesus. He is their Saviour and Lord. They could not be happier. But if in the days that follow, Jesus does not quite fulfill their expectations, and they discover that believing in him does not mean that life will be free from struggle and sickness and sorrow and tragedy, their happiness can quickly evaporate. And far from keeping faith with Jesus, they walk away. On the first Palm Sunday, the people praised Jesus and cried, Hosanna. And I happen to believe that their praise at that point was heartfelt. A number of them would have observed Jesus perform miracles, such as turning water into wine. Some would have witnessed him heal the sick and bring Lazarus back from the dead. Some may have been present when the hungry were fed and the storm at sea was stilled. Who wouldn't be impressed with someone who could do such things? And who wouldn't want to praise such a person? But can I suggest to you, their praise was very much based on the concept of what Jesus could do for them, and how much better, easier life could be with him around. I once knew a man. He was an elder in the church of my boyhood, and sadly he died at the age of 37. But he was very active in the church, and he worked tirelessly for the Christian cause. He would collect for Christian aid in the Bible Society. One evening when it was pouring with rain — it pours with rain a lot in Campbelltown — and he was out knocking on doors, someone asked him why he did what he did. And the answer he gave has remained with me ever since. Why do you do this? And he said, 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ carried the cross that should have been mine. And because of that, I cannot do enough for him. That is the right attitude to have, isn't it? That is what should motivate us as we seek to follow Jesus Christ. That is what should inspire us so that willingly and cheerfully we give our all in the service of the one who upon the cross gave his all for us. And if we have any regret, it should only be that we do not have more to give. The crowd on the first Palm Sunday had their wish list that they wanted Jesus, this man and the donkey, to satisfy there and then. People today can be like that, can't they? We want things to happen instantly. And modern technology encourages and feeds this expectation. Indeed, we can be like the person who prayed, "Lord, give me patience, and I want it now." Jesus never said that following him would be easy. It can be hard at times. The road can be rough. And being willing to put our head above the parapet to speak up for those who have no voice can cause others to distance themselves from us. Declining to do other things on a Sunday morning because being at church online or in person is important to us can make people question our commitment to them. Going out of our way to help others in a society where self is ranked most important can make us stand out from the crowd and sometimes be ridiculed. But it's worth it. We have a Saviour who does not deliver us from the ups and downs of life, but he gives us the strength to cope and the ability to endure. We have a Saviour who, unlike those who are fickle, stand by us through good and bad and will not abandon us in our time of need or sorrow. We have a Saviour who has died for us so that when we die, we are not condemned to the grave, but welcomed into God's nearer presence and to that life that knows no end. And there is our comfort and our hope as a congregation and a grieving community at this time. What's in it for me? That could sum up the thoughts of many who gathered that first Palm Sunday. What can I get out of this? Hence their disappointment and the change in their tune as the days unfolded. Today, as we begin our journey through that last week to the cross and the empty tomb, let us take time to consider again our own commitment to Jesus Christ. And unlike those who are only in it for what they can get out of it, and who subsequently fall away, let us keep faith with Jesus, the one rejected but who is now the main cornerstone and the source of our salvation. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Following the benediction, we will sing the doxology, which can be found at hymn 807, but many of you will know it. It's familiar. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. So there'll be the benediction, and then Tony will play a note, and we'll sing hymn 807, Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. But before that, we sing our closing hymn, a great hymn for Palm Sunday, hymn 365, 365, ride on in majesty. May the journey through Holy Week give you insight into the length and breadth and height and depth of God's amazing love, and the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you now and forevermore.